And on today's Windy City Crickhouse, it's part two of our comic strips and comic book show with the GLBT community, with Robert Kimmons of Brainstorm and Steven Rader and I continuing the conversation. And we talk about comic books being vaulted to the big screen. We have Watchmen. We've, of course, got the Batman series with The Dark Knight getting so much attention this past year. And look back to fond nostalgic memories of Superman. And where have GLBT characters been in all of that, from television and also film? And is homophobia alive and well in our representations? Where do we still need to go with comic books and images of ourselves in them? And also today, I've got lots of news, entertainment, and also telling you my big shout out of a concert you are going to want to get tickets to. So all that and more on this show with Steven Rader.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to Windy City Crick House, show number 291. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader. Good Lord, you don't stop, do you?
We are cooking it on.
Sweet Jesus.
As Rhiannon says, please don't stop the music.
Give you some okra and you're like a crazy woman.
Yeah, we're sitting here eating fried okra at the Brainstorm. I'm giving it a the. You're like the jewel now. We're at the jewel. We're at Brainstorm on North Avenue. And this is kind of our week of talking
about
comics.
I did a Google search because I was like, where is this place? The reviews for your store. Have you ever been on Yelp?
Oh, yeah.
You have some awesome reviews.
Sweet. You'd think this place can
be a shrine.
These people are crazy. You have
well,
the
look at
best
this store.
Our reviews are real.
That's it. Like the best reviews I've ever read of a place.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's a really amazing store, too. You know, the way it's laid out, it feels very like you come in here and hang for a while and really get good help and and at the same time, very comfortable environment and feel very friendly, very neighborhood feel. Mm-hmm. So, which is why we're just sitting down here eating some fried okra, and you guys are educating me on the graphic novel and on comics. I do. I want to talk about the big movie. We let Richard Knight Jr. do his spiel. So give me your thoughts. Did you like it?
I liked it.
We're talking about Watchmen, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, you liked it a lot, Robert.
I liked it a lot.
Why?
Where
did it exceed expectations? Where did it not?
It exceeded expectations in the sense that it had more in there than I thought it was going to have.
Amen.
What do you mean? You mean by kind of true to the letter of the law of the comic?
Yes.
Or the story.
Yes.
Literally.
I mean,
in the same way that we would have said like Sin City or
I'll say this, when you're a musical theater
frame
person,
by frame.
When you went to see Sweeney Todd and you were like, he's going to butcher this, he's going to screw this up, he's going to butcher this, and then you went and you saw it, you went, oh my God, they kept that. Oh my God, they kept that. Oh my God, they kept that.
Yeah.
That's the same exact reaction.
Because I don't know anything about it. I haven't read it. You know, actually, my editor, Di, said, did you take Watchmen with you to the islands? Because she thought that I was going to grab yours and take
like,
it.
No.
And I didn't. But Kevlar and clay was the best I could do. Ah. But I've heard people say that they knew from the people that were behind creating this that they were going to kind of take it frame by frame. And of course, they did that with Sin City. That was at least one of the things people said was that they really tried to capture like each cell of
it's
imaging.
Not quite as, you know,
literal,
like, literal as, mm-hmm. as Sin City was. I mean, Sin City, you could watch it and be like, oh, that's that page, that's that page,
that page.
So it's not that, but you just mean narratively, they kept the storylines and kept...
I mean, there's enough of that look. I mean, there are scenes that are like, oh, well, that's that panel. I remember that panel. You know? But what I feel, what I thought was with the amount of time that's passed between the book coming out...
Which came out when?
86, 87.
So it was in those Reagan years we were talking about, actually.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
And
it is known as the... Is it known as the greatest...
Oh, yeah. I've heard people refer to it as the Citizen Kane of comics.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
So, it's...
Yeah.
One of Time Magazine's 100 best novels of the 20th century.
Yeah.
It was the first time that the superhero genre had been deconstructed in such a way that it put them into a real-life situation where they could die.
So tell me the gist, because I have not read it and I have not seen it. Like, just if you had to say... three sentences, this is kind of what it's about. Is that horrible to do to you, either of you?
That's
I don't know.
Funny.
But I mean, you know, like, I mean, Batman would be about a young guy, sometimes a kid, who, you know, whose parents were killed. He saw it happen. He comes back. He's a wealthy millionaire, and he's now avenging, you know, good throughout Gotham. Because
it's so easy for you, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I know Batman. I'm just trying to... I don't know the Huntress yet. I don't know her in the biblical sense yet.
You will.
Or Power Girl. Or any of these. Or Powerpuff.
I have
a
feeling that cosplay is going to come into your relationship.
I don't know what that is. I'm scared.
That's where you dress up like the character.
Oh, I've already been there. You know, I was the Gabrielle to the Xena for many a year. So I've already had my bit of touch with all of the warrior princess. I took a lot of that was my fantasy brought on stage. Go ahead. I raised lots of money to let people see me have my masturbatory fantasy on stage. Anyhow.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
There you go.
No, I mean, I guess it's about a group of superheroes who have been disbanded because they had to become disbanded because there was an act, a congressional act that said you can't have any masked Avengers, and then one of them is killed.
Okay.
And another of the characters sort of begins to think there's a masked killer on the loose.
Okay.
And he visits them, and the story begins to happen.
Okay.
One by one, some of them are...
So they're like a group of superheroes that then are somehow
fractured. That are not
fractured.
Called the Watchmen, oddly, no.
That are not called the Watchmen. Where the title comes from, what, do you know?
Who watches the Watchmen.
Right.
Who watches the Watchmen.
Well, I think the overall theme is... socially, we have people in power, whether we put them there or not, that are supposed to be looking after our best interests, supposed to be protecting us,
mm-hmm.
supposed to be watching over us, keeping us safe.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's watching over them is
right.
kind of the it's kind of the theme.
And it's I think it speaks to what goes on behind the scenes of that when people are given that amount of power.
Hmm.
Whether they want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So,
yes, exactly.
And these are superheroes that it's not like they actually do have powers. So
well, one.
One does.
One does.
Yeah.
Okay. So it exceeded your expectation based on how much was there, how much
right.
was included.
Right.
Anything else that really?
I think he made some great cuts.
Hey, Russell. How are
you? I think he made great cuts.
Yeah.
I think he made, he condensed the story in such a way that was just smart.
Yeah.
Police Willie is really smart.
What about, did you find things that you did not like about the film that
mm-hmm.
you were less than what you expected?
I found,
Or less than satisfying?
Not really.
Because it was cast with a lot of people that are not... I mean, maybe the biggest names. It's not like we have, like, George Clooney or Brad Pitt.
I think he could spend
or...
his money in other ways. I think that's what he was doing. Because if he had had, there was talk of Keanu Reeves at one point. There was, you know, a lot of names bandied about. And I think he used his names, he used his money wisely in that respect. Jackie Earle Haley is a god.
He is genius. He was in Little Children, of course, played the pedophiliac. Now, he's covered as Rorschach, right?
Rorschach, you know, the Rorschach tests, the
right?
ink blots.
Right.
He has this mask that constantly, the ink moves all the time. So the chin, it always sort of...
So how can he be brilliant without having any facial expression? He's entirely masked.
Let me just say, go see him.
Yeah.
I mean, for that character is so wackadoodle crazy that... He's our favorite because he really sees the world in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's good, there's bad, there's wrong, there's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he just knocked that character out of the park.
Wow. He's really been so brilliant. He's been so brilliant he was nominated, right, for a Golden Globe or for Little Children. I mean, just extremely, extremely... extremely gifted.
All I'm going to say is Breaking Away. I thought he was the cutest thing in the world back then. And
yeah.
Still think he's here.
Like Tatum O'Neal or Jodie Foster or something.
I'm just
one of those
saying
movies.
Bad News Bears. I'm all for the Jackie Earle
Haley.
Bad
News Bears. So what, for me, who would be an entire novice, would it have the same impact or can you even tell? I mean, you're filled with this story.
Well, I think it does. I think it does have a resonate. Yeah. With what's going on today. I mean...
In what way?
Well, in the way that there's that scene that they keep showing in clips where Night Owl and Comedian are in the middle of this mob and he says, well, what happened? And Comedian turns around and says, well, the American dream came true. We got what we wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is why everything's gone to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean...
Interesting that it's coming out right at this time then, right?
A lot of people actually said to Zack Snyder, now that Bush isn't in office, is this even relevant?
Oh, huh.
Hello?
Oh. Well, we're dealing with the repercussions of him being in office.
Give me a break.
Oh, you know what? We're going to take a break right there because whenever you mention politics, then we can go and do the news really quick, tell you what's going on in the theater scene, and then we're going to come back more on this conversation because I want to talk about... when those people rise that are supposed to be taking care of us, how we continue to see those in our stories.
Celebrating over 30 years as Chicago's own internationally acclaimed contemporary dance company, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago presents its 2009 Celebrity Cast Party, a GLBT event. Join the dancers and fans of Hubbard Street Dance on Sunday, April 5th, for a matinee performance and a party immediately following at the Fairmont Chicago, featuring signature cocktails, delicious hors d'oeuvres, dancing, and more. You won't want to miss the fun, fabulous event. Tickets start at $125 and are available now at hubbardstreetdance.com or by calling 312-850-9744, extension 164. Hubbard Street Dance Chicago thanks Exelon, Center on Halsted, the Fairmont Chicago, and Windy City Media Group for support of this event.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Maryland, a state Senate panel is slated to hear testimony on a measure that would ban discrimination against transgender individuals. The measure would protect transgender residents from discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations.
St. Louis, Missouri is getting its first gay alderman. Shane Cohn, at 28, will be the second youngest member of the aldermanic board. He won his primary March 3rd.
The 2010 census will not count same-sex marriages or ask individuals about their sexual orientation. Same-sex couples who live together will have to categorize themselves as unmarried partners, as they did in 2000 before two states. Currently, only Connecticut and Massachusetts allowed gay marriage.
A new gay rights group has formed in West Virginia called Fairness West Virginia, with a campaign to sign up 1,000 supporters in 20 days. The primary goal of the group is getting sexual orientation added to the state's Human Rights Act.
In Baltimore, an encounter inside popular lesbian bar Coconuts Cafe resulted in a fatal shooting. Tia Edwards, 25, was shot and beaten with a metal pipe outside the club after an earlier altercation on the dance floor and died from her injuries. Two other women were also shot but survived.
A Different Light bookstore in West Hollywood is closing its doors after 3 decades. The San Francisco outlet and the website adlbooks.com will remain open.
In world news, in Israel, a Tel Aviv court has allowed a same-sex couple to adopt. Former Israeli parliament member Uzi Avin and Dr. Amit Kama, who were married in Toronto in 2004, were given the right to adopt their 30-year-old foster son, whom they took in 15 years ago.
Police have arrested sex traffickers who allegedly recruited Korean men and trans individuals and illegally sent them to Japan to work in the sex industry there. Investigators have found that traffickers sent over 30 male and transgender sex workers to Japan to work in brothels in Yokohama's red light district since January 2007.
In Turkey, prominent trans rights activist Ebru Soykan was murdered in front of her home in central Istanbul. Soykan had reported being beaten and threatened on several occasions by the same man now being held in police custody as the murder suspect.
And in entertainment news, Oscar-winning actress Jodie Foster was caught on camera by the True TV reality show Speeders. Foster allegedly drove 54 miles per hour in her Prius inside a 35-mile-per-hour zone. The privacy-loving Foster declined to sign a waiver and be featured on the reality program and reportedly argued with the police once the camera was off.
The video for British singer Pete Doherty's new song, Last of the English Roses, ends with a kissing scene between two men. Roses is part of Doherty's debut solo album, Grace Wastelands.
Heathers, the 1988 black comedy movie that starred Christian Slater and Winona Ryder, is about to become a musical. Andy Fickman, director of the musical Reefer Madness, will direct.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Jinx from Gospel Titanic, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Hey guys, I wanted to give another little shout out on this Queercast about our friends, the locals. Yvonne Dahl and her gang with the locals are going to be opening for the Clicks. I love that. The locals opening for the Clicks at Subterranean. That's on April 9th. And they're totally psyched and we're totally psyched and we want to fill the house. So, hey guys, come on out to Subterranean. Hear the locals and the Clicks. You can get more information by contacting Subterranean or going to their website because I would get my tickets soon for that. The locals, the Clicks. Oh, that's going to be an awesome, awesome night of rock. How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay?
How we gonna pay? Last year's way. When Rent opened on Broadway, it launched the careers of two extraordinary young actors. Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp created the roles of Roger and Mark, the best friends and roommates at the center of Jonathan Larson's award-winning musical. Their powerful performances helped Rent become one of the biggest hits in Broadway history. To this day, when people think of Rent, they think of Adam and Anthony. And now, audiences throughout America have the chance to see their legendary performances live on stage in the musical that changed Broadway forever. Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp coming here in Rent, the Broadway tour.
Performances begin March 31st for 2 weeks only at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 16th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet, now extended at the Apollo Theater. Don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Shrouded in mystery, six ordinary people grapple with the emotional casualties of war in Old Glory, the latest work from Brett Nouveau, one of Chicago's hottest young playwrights. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe through March 29th, Visit writerstheater.org for tickets to Old Glory.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Patricia Callumbar, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production The Maids by Jean Genet at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets for The Maids at writerstheater.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
So there's actually been a graphic novel for Barack Obama.
Many comic books have come out with Barack. One was Spider-Man a few months ago, right?
Yeah, tell me about this Spider-Man issue. Was it a big hit? And what was the storyline?
It was a huge hit.
Unbelievable.
Was that the first one that came out with Barack, or he's had ones before?
Actually, the first one that came out was in Savage Dragon, but it was flew so far under the radar, and basically all it was in the very last panel. Savage Dragon's like, oh, I endorse Barack Obama for president.
Funny.
It's like, whatever.
You put your political stamp on your graphic novel.
Right.
That's great.
So
Barack Obama, the Spider-Man issue, what was the gist of that issue? Was it just one of those standalones? Like, it's just one issue that would come out? Or
it was a 5-page backup in the regular issue. Basically, Obama arrives at the inauguration ceremony, and there's already a Barack Obama there. And Peter Parker is there in the guise of his reporter self, to do his story on the inauguration. And, of course, it turns out that the other Barack Obama is the villain Chameleon, who can make himself look like anyone. And his plan was that if he could get sworn into office first, then he would be able to do his evil world domination.
Hell, Barack
plan.
Couldn't even get sworn in correctly.
Right.
I know.
The story itself was actually quite lame,
but it's a historical moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a historical moment
when's the last time we've had when's the last time we've had a president that we've actually went, oh my god, he can actually do it? But B, that we've seen, I mean, all this media.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never experienced something like that.
Do we notice are minorities as well represented in the graphic world?
They're much better. It's much better now.
It's much better now than it used to be. So what, we've seen, with heroes on television, we've started to see the genre take even a bigger leap in the television world.
I'll tell you what's my favorite thing right now. I love it. And maybe I don't know if you do it or not. This new Batman, The Brave and the Bold. Have you watched this?
I've watched a couple of episodes.
What is this? Campy and funny, and I love it.
No Justice League Unlimited, but
no, it's not at all.
Is this with real people or
not
is this
at
with
all? No, it's an animated thing, and it's goofy and campy while still sort of remaining pretty strict to a lot of the source material. And
is this on television?
I love it.
What's it on?
It's on the Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
So is. Do we see that graphic novels and comic stories have grown up a bit on the television world?
They have.
I mean, obviously, we think of the old slapstick, Batman.
I didn't know it was campy when I was a kid.
No, I loved it. I loved it. But obviously, it's gone somewhere vastly different. And now we have entire channels, for
it's
that.
It's a great time to be a geek.
Right.
It's a really great time to be a geek.
Because of all the sci-fi and
especially when you have, Battlestar Galactica and you have Heroes and you have, they're really, I mean, you go to Comic-Con and there are movie studios who want to know what the hell you think about their movie.
Yeah.
And I think they've learned now that if you take Watchmen and you are respectful of the material, then we'll come. But if you take the character of Catwoman and decide to call her something else and give her a new backstory and put her in a different outfit and make Halle Berry do something, and you're like, that's not Selena Kyle, and we're not going to pay money for it.
Right. Hmm. And when they say something like, oh, well, Scarlett Johansson has been cast as Black Widow in the next Iron Man movie,
you're like,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why does that make sense?
Well, because...
who was it going to be before that? There was some rumor I've forgotten, and I was like, okay, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was supposed to be before that. But the main thing is that when they make a casting call for a character, you kind of want to see someone that is going to reflect what you've been familiar with all these years.
Who do you think has been most on the money with that in terms of for film?
I think Iron Man.
Yeah, Robert
Downey
Jr. Robert Downey Jr.
So he really, he really is
he
like
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was.
Is he the best? Do you think it? What else? Are there other people?
Yeah,
he definitely made that.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve as Superman is another good example of that.
Really, I mean, getting it right.
Ben Affleck as Daredevil? No, not so much.
Yeah,
is Daredevil a la Revlon?
Yeah, and we've yet to really have the great woman character, right? There have been talks about Wonder Woman coming.
Well, Wonder Woman has always been.
I mean, I've interviewed Linda Carter, and she's like, you know, they keep talking about it, and I'd be happy for it to be somebody, but I don't know that it's ever going to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's like in such gridlock.
I mean, it'd be great to see her come back as her mother.
God,
I mean,
yeah,
that'd be wonderful. But
it'd be great.
But I mean, as far as I know, at one point, Charisma Carpenter was petitioning for the role when Joss Whedon was writing the script. I know the one dark haired actress from How I Met Your Mother was in contention for it at one point.
Well, they used to be like Sandra Bullock. I mean, they've been talking about the Sam movie since when she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, her fake ID said she was in her
20s. So, yeah, now I hear Megan Fox.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Wow.
I mean, there was even a fake website that had Megan Fox as Wonder Woman.
So what would you like to see made into a movie or television show that has not been made?
I would like to see The Authority.
Oh, my God.
I think The Authority would be great because it's thematically it's very much like Watchmen in the sense it's where they really are like an anti-hero. They have put themselves in charge of your well-being whether you like it or not. But they're more overt about it, whereas in The Watchmen it was much more behind the scenes. And they present those moral questions of is it best to kill a million people to save a billion? Just sacrificing themselves and their character and what the public perception of them is for the betterment of humanity.
Yeah.
The whole Wildstorm line is really, it's really an interesting line.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
What about you? Would you want to see, is there one that you'd like to see?
Hell, maybe? I'd just like to see a nice script for Wonder Woman. I really would.
Yeah, I would love to see Wonder Woman.
I think they should just give Josh Whedon carte blanche.
Is he like the only one? Is he like the only one that can really make a television
show? Jeff Loeb is, he can do it too. I mean, what happens is that the thing that makes the characters popular, Fantastic Four is a perfect example of that. What makes that book popular is the family dynamic between all the characters. And then what they do is they create the script, they start doing their casting call, and then they say, oh, well, people aren't going to get this about that character, and people aren't going to get this about that character. So then they start taking the stuff out that actually makes the piece
exactly
what makes it work.
Right.
And then you're left with, like, what the hell was that?
Right.
Yeah, cool.
It seemed like X-Men Better Way tried to
Until the third one.
And the third movie I wanted to.
Do you have a favorite series of those? You know, I mean, obviously Fantastic Four, there's been X-Men, there's been Superman. I guess Superman hasn't had a lot of various... different.
That went really well, you mean? That did really well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like it seems like the Batman whole franchise has been radically revived. Spider-Man obviously has done well. It seems like number three is where they all kind of crash and burn.
Just trying to put too much in them.
But I guess, what do you think has been most successful? I mean, is Batman still the most successful based on reinventing itself as a franchise? Because Dark Knight, obviously, many people thought it should have been a best picture contender for an Oscar. I mean, when have we seen that happen? Ever? Right. Never, obviously.
I think because there's so many different styles of books, there's so many, then the movie then lends itself to that style. And what people are, I think, now at DC thinking about doing, which is wrong, is to take that dark, gritty, real world kind of sense that I did with The Dark Knight and apply it across the board. Yeah. And I mean, you look at Superman, the first movie, the second movie especially, and it's definitely set when it's set, and it has that sort of sense from the books. So here is this big blue Boy Scout
Americana,
who really believes in right and wrong, and that doesn't really gel into the world of this gritty Batman.
Right.
I think what has helped move the whole superhero genre and the concepts of those superheroes working in real life better than any movie box office thing has been Smallville.
Interesting.
Because of
the cute Tom Welling, who the gays love. I know gay men who just have the Abercrombie and Fitch catalogs just because it's porn.
Well, hello.
But because of the simple fact that they've been able to bring in characters like Black Canary.
Mm-hmm. Who look like hell, by the way.
Yeah, who look like hell. But they got the basic concept of the character down.
Mm-hmm.
Green Arrow, Aquaman.
Cyborg, even.
So, yeah. I mean, they've been able to bring in all these different characters that populate the DC universe.
So doesn't that bode well that television is a better medium because of the kind of issue aspect of the comic?
In a way, because with Dark Knight, with Dark Knight, Superman, Wonder Woman, these characters would not be able to exist in that world.
No.
And that's where you have that problem when you're trying to make it all gritty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Wonder Woman would work really well in a well done World War II piece, I think, because that's where the origins of that character are.
Yeah,
and I think that I think Superman. I would like to see them try do another Superman movie to kind of make up for and rename it Superman 1.1.
Yeah.
You know, because the first one was a remake of, you know, the first two.
Right.
So I would like
Very
to see
so.
A brand new movie with Brandon Routh. I thought he looks great as Superman, but I don't know who he is as Superman.
Yeah.
You know, because...
And I'm sorry, I would have taken crazy Margot Kidder, who's off her medication in the backyard, over that woman who played. I couldn't stand. I was like, give me Margot Kidder.
Yeah,
give me a non-spelling.
They seem to really
Margot
miss
Kidder.
The women. I just have to say, and I have a limited vantage point, but they really seem to miss the women. I just can't believe that
the
women.
Hoover that, I'm sorry, what's her name?
Jessica Alba.
Oh, she's just
so but see, I didn't even like. I didn't even like Paltrow in Iron Man. I was like, seriously, this is a character that this man would be drawn to? I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. They're not dynamic and exciting enough and layered enough and sexy enough and all of that. But, you know, I'm a
Pepper
lesbian.
Potts
this
is going
mine.
To be a Iron Woman? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's her. That's the character in the comic. Pepper
Potts. There you go. Well, obviously,
and you're doing well here at this location, right? I mean, you're.
Yeah, I was going to ask what. I mean, you don't have to give real numbers, but this is still a massive, as Steven said, with Comic-Con and that movie executives want to know, and they're showing clips of like the new Star Trek, when that was shown, like a year ago, to see like how they had done on that. I guess that's the next big film, right? I mean, Star Trek is going to be the next big one. How big is this industry? I mean, how big is the graphic novel or comic industry?
I think it's still really big. I mean, and it just keeps getting bigger. What you have to remember is that the audience that was reading this stuff 20 years ago, in many cases, they're still reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they have graduated to graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer doing the floppies, single issues. So in that sense, the graphic novel industry has grown. The graphic novel industry is, in my opinion, pretty much almost killed the back issue market.
Wow.
It's basically for anything modern. I mean,
so you can just grab the trade and go.
Yeah, there's still collectible desirability within the Silver Age and the Bronze Age and Golden Age stuff. But as far as modern age, graphic novel comes out six months after the story's done. You can get it, you know, just get it and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think that that it's still a very profitable industry, but it is very specific to a specific fan base.
I'll tell you this though, I had stopped. I'd been all through when I was a kid, well into college, I had collected, and then I stopped. It was like getting off the junk, you know. And I was doing Line and Winter. I was doing Line and Winter, Timeline. And we talked about comic books with one of the other actors. And he walked in on a Sunday with the Watchmen. I said, have you read this? I don't know, I haven't read that. You might like this. That's Sunday. I come back to the next show on Thursday. And I walk in, I throw the book down. I was like, you son of a bitch. I am now right back.
I
spent $50. I walked out. That I was buying everything because it's like when you grow up with it, there's something about it that you just love every single week. And it's sort of I love reading the floppies because I like the sort of soap opera-y kind of sense to the books.
The episodic and the cliffhanger.
You know,
it's the
old serials from movie serials. Yeah.
So, okay, if you, we're going to have to wind this down, but if you could be with a superhero sexually, him.
Like I haven't.
Which one would you be with?
What are you saying to me?
You're going to ask Robert as well. Oh, come on. Yeah, you do.
What
popped into your head when I said
You know what? I have a fetish for it. It sounds sick.
I don't care.
Because it's going to sound really old.
I love you
dirty.
No matter what.
Robin. I'm a Robin. Crazy. Love Robin.
You love Robin. Okay, what about you, Robert?
Do you have the Burt Ward thing. It's just Burt Ward in shorts.
And these little red shorts.
Booties do it for me. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'd have to say Wolverine.
Wolverine as Hugh Jackman or just Wolverine on the page?
You're a good yes and yes.
Yes and yes. More yes.
Yes and yes.
So tell me if you could have a superpower, what would that superpower be?
I would totally be telekinetic. I love that.
You'd want to hear what people are thinking? Is that what that means?
What
is telekinetic?
You'd be able to move things with your mind.
Oh, move things with your
think
mind.
Think about what you could do. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say. And you?
I think super strength.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To be strong?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
What about you, sister?
I don't know any of them. I'd want to be a Xena Warrior Princess because I've always wanted to be a Xena Warrior Princess. Although, I don't know. Huntress, Power Girl. What's her name? Power Girl. Mm-hmm. And then who are the Batwoman and... Her lady love, who's this
her.
One?
She's like,
I'm learning. I'm gonna walk out of here with
to
a couple.
Read these things with because they're lesbians. And it's all, you're gonna flip through.
Hey, whatever keeps you coming back, and then
the
you get deeper and deeper and
like,
deeper.
Okay, we're done.
There, I just want that hot girl on girl action that one of you promised in the last show.
You are crazy.
That's all I really care about. Really, I'm just slutty that way.
Wow.
And then my superpower, I would probably want to be able to. It'd be really fun to be able to shapeshift. To become anything. Mm-hmm. To become like water or become a bird. I always loved, you know, the Wonder Twins. Well, the Wonder Twins would be like form of... I just think that's cool because then you could fly.
Oh,
you could swim.
Stupid.
I did too.
Well,
I was like, give me Wendy
stupid,
and Marvin
but,
back.
But I, not
form
them, but...
Form of steam.
You could
whatever.
Be,
shape
but
off.
You could be anything. If you could shapeshift, you could hide so you could hear what people
but
are saying.
You have to touch your freaking sister before
no,
you
no,
can do
No, I'm not
going to
do that. Well, I could touch my sister.
Okay.
The Amazon type sister.
Oh,
the Wonder
God.
Woman type sister that I love. And what are you making that dirty about?
Shape up. I know what you do.
What is
I've
making
you.
It dirty? Y'all don't think my shape-shifting is good?
I think it's great.
You could be form
of
a dildo. You could be anything.
Philip
you could
Dawkins,
go places you've never gone before.
Philip Dawkins, it says, I hope he's going to kill me for saying this on the air, but he
especially his first and
watched.
Last name.
Yeah, hello. Philip Dawkins at 348... he wants to be he wants to talk to animals. That's what he said. And I was like, that is the queerest power.
But see, if you were a shapeshifter, you could just become that animal and then you could talk with it. Like, you could become
like
a lion.
Dr. Doolittle? That's your superpower?
But does he want to talk to animals like Beastmaster, like Mark Singer?
Well, now
Beastmaster?
If it's Beastmaster, I'm fine with it.
Well, I'm just geeked
you're
out.
That and
I'm,
you look like that?
I'm geeking out way, way hard here.
Come on.
Well, I say, pick up a graphic novel. Go check out The Watchmen and see what you think of it. I really want Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton to duke it out in an issue.
That's
that would
celebrity
be
celebrity deathmatch.
Super, super, super fun for me.
We can do special orders.
And you can do special orders.
There's a site you have a place where you can make an order from your site, right?
Yeah, tell me what your website is.
BrainstormMCG.com.
BrainstormMCG.com. Robert Kimmons has been our guest here at Brainstorm in Wicker Park, Bucktown. And this has been fun.
Yes.
So much stuff I didn't know that now I know. And now you're going to get some of my money.
Oh.
We'll see you next week. Next week, Mitchell Fain on the show before we send him off to South America on his cruise for months and months and months. So I don't know what Mitchell and I are going to talk about, but it'll be fun.
It'll be Jewish.
And it'll be on the couch, and it'll be Jewish and very queer.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.